have. I am living a real life episode of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Well, between that and my Seinfeld episode, we have just had a whole...
I am Mr. Cotter.
You are Mr. Cotter. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go watch one.
Yes.
I wonder how, if it holds up. Like, I don't remember what any of the storyline, like they just...
I just
only remember them sitting in that classroom.
Yeah. I mean, I have a girl that sits up front and she tells the boys how it's going to go down, what's going down. I mean, she is, and they're, you know, back and forth, and I'm just shaking my head. I'm trying to teach Surf Safe. And I thought, yeah, I am fully going to get a note from Epstein's mother.
Yeah. You're about to get Epstein mother. Mm-hmm. That's great.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Went and had an ALT done. So
I know. I know. I was just going to ask, as we get into episode 197, welcome everyone. 197, I think, right?
197.
Yep, I think that's right.
Cornbread podcast, episode 197.
Welcome, welcome. Well, Joni has been drained.
I've been drained.
So tell us all about that, please.
So I one of my treatments that I do at Flourish is a lymphatic drainage, because your lymphatic system is responsible for getting all the gunk out of your body, right? All of your, any viruses or illnesses or just junk that your lymphatic system. Okay. And so sometimes it gets clogged.
Yeah.
And
you don't want that. It's like your sewage. It's kind of like the,
yes,
your garbage disposal, you know, and you want to keep it clear.
Clear it out. So I do about once a month. I get a lymphatic drainage. I also have bought a vibration plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You told us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to help do that. And it's really, you know, and she keeps the girl who does it. She talks about being sticky. And
ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that.
You can feel it, like there are places on my, like when she runs over like my inner elbow or, you know, something, you can kind of feel that it's sticky. Well, then that's supposedly where the drainage is.
Oh, what do you mean sticky? Wait, what does that mean? How does she mean sticky?
So like if she runs this, it looks like a light bulb, you know, those big Edison bulb kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. And it's sending all this stuff through your body that cleans out the...
Are you sure that's not just mumbo jumbo? Are they really?
It may be because you can't see that it's doing anything, you know, but I will say.
Are they just running a Target light bulb over you?
It is. Yeah. 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 That's right. But I will say that I feel much better after I have it done. So,
okay.
I don't know. But anyway, my leg. So after, you know, I've been doing this vibration plate every day and my legs weren't sticky at all.
Oh.
They weren't sticky at all. So
I think you can do your arms on those vibrations. I mean, I really do. Yeah. I think you can get on your knees and do your arms a little bit.
You can. But as you know, my knee has been a little out of commission, so I have not done it. But I did do Firm Believer yesterday.
No.
For the first time all summer.
You guys, that was the culprit. That was the cause.
I will tell you, there were a few exercises on it that I skipped. That I thought, yeah, I'm not, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. You got to know your limit and be like, and we're not ready yet.
And I've decided I'm not going to do it every day. Like I was doing, I'm going to give muscles a chance to, you know, chillax.
I think that's a very good idea because just like with any PT, you have to just continue the upward trajectory you're on, but you don't want to go too far, too fast or you'll
I am officially done with physical therapy now.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. You graduated.
Now that summer is over and I'm back at school.
Get a clean bill of health.
Get a clean bill of health until we have a break.
Well, I want to let you know I got a clean bill of health.
Oh, you did? Okay.
On my poo-poo test. So I just want to let you guys know that. That is too much information, but I only bring it up because she was bringing up her clean bill of health, and I just got that result. And you guys, this is one of the weirdest things I ever have done. This is, and it's not, I'm not going to be talking about anything gross or anything too personal, but I'm just saying, last week when I went with my box to the UPS store, mm-hmm. with my sample, that was a very, very weird feeling to go.
Humbling experience. Here's my poop. Please take it.
I was just like, I'm mailing my poop. Like what? It gave me pause, and it just was a weird, it's fine. I'm glad I did it. It was easy. They made it really easy. I'm telling you, they got that thing set up. But I felt very odd handing this young 20-something girl a box of a part of me. Felt very weird. And I just had to, I called Tim. I'm like, I just did something I've never done before. And he's like, yes, you did. I said, that was a little weird. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. And he's like, were you kind of self-conscious? And I'm like, no, I just was like, because the box just says like whatever lab. So it could be really anything. But I'm like, I wonder if that girl knows. Yeah, she would think. But
like Cologuard or something on the box?
No, it doesn't. It just had like Exact Science or something. Okay. Yeah. So that, and I don't know, these 20-somethings, they may not know about what's going on.
I don't know. But
guys, I apologize. I hope no one was having a snack or anything, but it was weird, y'all. It was very weird. I'm like, well, that's just bizarre that that's happening. But anyway, everything's good. So there you go.
Hey, all right. Okay.
Well, we had a good trip to Chattanooga this weekend. We've been out of town.
Tell us about Chattanooga.
Chattanooga is great. We just got back yesterday. So it's Monday. Yeah, yesterday. And we had a good little trip. We just went down for about 4 days, helped Avery and Joey move into their first house that they bought, which was, of course, very exciting. And it's cute. And they've painted all the rooms, all these pretty colors. They've been working hard, like nonstop, just getting stuff painted before the move. It's got a cute backyard, all kinds of different trees and plants and a little deck. It's just, you know, it's just a precious little first home. So we went, and Thatch came down too. So we had the whole Broyles clan there to help move. And Hudson, of course, was there. So, and a couple other friends of theirs helped move. So that was a huge blessing because, you know, once again, moving in August, why am I always moving people in August?
When it's 120 degrees, you know, heat index. Yeah.
Why? I don't know, but it was very organized. I mean, everything was, you know, very well done and all that. I will tell you a funny story. So we were using the elevator in their apartment building, and they have two elevators and one. It's really nice. The apartment building, like you let them know your move date, whether you're moving in or out, and they basically assign one elevator to you. You get that elevator. So it's locked. Only you can use it. I don't know how that works. Smart. Anyway, which is just really nice that way. And it's got the padding on the wall and, you know, everything like that. So we were using that for all the big stuff and everything. And then we were also just using the regular one as we were cat a little cart or carrying stuff or whatnot. And so we were getting towards the end. I think this was our last trip. For the day, we had pretty much gotten all the big stuff, all the furniture and pretty much everything. There was like one closet and some plants that they were going to come back and get. But anyway, so it's like, it's Hudson, Joey, Avery, and myself. I believe it's just us four. And we're carrying, oh no, and her friend Grace. Five of us. Yeah, there was five of us. And her sweet friend, Grace, who came and helped move and was a trooper. We're all just got stuff in our arms. Just like Hudson has random, like the bed frame from the bed that's kind of folded up weird. Grace has like Christmas wrapping paper. Literally, I kept going, how are you? How's your wrapping going? She's like, great. It's going great. I'm almost done. I have some random stuff. So we're just all carrying this random little stuff. So we're waiting on the fifth floor. We call for the elevator. The boys had taken the other elevator down, so we couldn't get it back, our moving elevator. So we just called the regular one. And there's a UPS guy waiting with us for the elevator. It opens. There's kind of some people in it. We're like, and he has a cart, UPS guy. So we're like, go ahead. You know, you don't want any part of our chaos that's happening here. So please go ahead. We'll wait for it to come back. So we wait and we're talking and And then the elevator comes back. It opens up and UPS guy is still in there and some other guy because it had like gone up and he...
Yeah.
So he'd gone up. So there he is. So we're like, oh, well, okay, here we come. So all five of us pile in there with all of our random stuff. And we press the button close and we see, oh, it's going up. So it's going up again.
Oh, gosh.
So we get on it on the fifth floor. It goes up. It goes all the way up to the 10th floor, opens up. This little lady comes in and we kind of all scooch, you know, come on. She gets in a corner. Then it goes down to the 8th floor and it stops. And we're like, oh, man. Opens up and this kind of guy, and he's got a cart with a box on it. So we squish back in some more. He rolls in. Then it stops on another floor, opens the door. It's like on the 6th floor. And this lady's standing there and I don't know, the UPS, some guys goes like, there's no room. You got to wait for the next one. We're like, you don't want any part of this. We're like, just, you know, and she's like, oh, okay. Doors close, opens up on the 4th floor for some reason. I'm telling you, at this point, it opens up and the guy with the cart, the UPS guy had said, oh, I had needed to go to the 4th floor, but he meant that's where he had already gone.
Yeah.
Before the elevator, all this chaos. So the cart guy starts to get off and the UPS guy's like, no, I don't need to. So he gets back on and the doors close. And at this point, I literally just say out loud, I said, we are in a Seinfeld episode right now.
Right. Yeah.
And the UPS guy, he's like, oh my gosh, we really are. I'm like, this is a Seinfeld episode and we are all on this elevator and we cannot get off this elevator. And it keeps going up and down and opening and closing. And so finally it stops on the 3rd floor because that's the parking level for the garage. So cart guy gets out and we finally get down to the 1st floor and we all pile out and, you know, bless everyone's hearts. We all get out and so forth. Well, so that was just a whole experience in and of itself. Well, the funny thing was also Hudson had been telling us before we got on the elevator, he says, while we were waiting initially, and we were just laughing at all our stuff and everything. And he said, yeah, he said one of the times going up and down with stuff, I was by myself and this guy came and he was like, what's going on with the elevators? They're so slow today. What's going on? You know? And Hudson goes, I don't know. He like totally disowned us all. Just totally. Yeah. I don't know. I think someone's moving. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Somebody. Get off the elevator. Sold us all out. Threw us out. He didn't have any idea. We get off the elevator at the 1st floor after all those shenanigans. He looks at us and goes, that guy with the cart was the guy that I
That's hilarious. Met
and told I didn't know you all. And he was crammed in there with us holding this giant bed frame. I was like, well, karma got you, bro. It got you. And he was just like.
It did, like, 100%.
That was the guy. He said, that's the guy that I met. And I was like, well, that'll teach you to lie.
That's right.
That'll teach you to disown your own family. So that was our Seinfeld moment moving. But other than that, everything went really well and got most stuff moved in and, you know, chaos for a while. But left them in really, really good shape. And then, let's see, then Saturday night, then we went back Saturday and just helped do more stuff. And then Saturday night, we went out to dinner. With their good friend Tim Lloyd, who's works with HUD's boss and good friends with Joey and Avery and all of them, and he had wanted to go to dinner with us at this restaurant called Mama Shika. Excuse me, I can't read my own handwriting, which is. This sister restaurant, it's owned by the same people that own the Attack of the to Tatsu, I think is what it's called, which is a little ramen place that we love. And it's like connected right with it. But anyway, it's this little place and he had just raved about it. He just really loved it. And we all went and it was delicious. It was very, you know, like kind of tuna roll. There were sushi-ish items, but there was also, it was Asian, obviously. Everything was Asian inspired and little boba buns and skewers with little things. It was a lot of like small platey kind of things that you got to have. And it was just really fun. We really had a great time. It was a really good pick. Tim, apparently Tim Lloyd knows everybody there. So he was introducing everybody and he's there. He lives upstairs. He lives in an apartment right upstairs. So, so we got to do that and have time. I got a cocktail, Joni. They had all these beautiful cocktails. Mine came in a tall glass and it was pink and it had a cloud of puffy cloud on it.
Oh,
I know. I was very fancy. It was some kind of gin something, but it had like this pinky kind of little cloud of something on the top. And it was just kind of a little sweet. And I don't even know, but I'd never had a cocktail with a cloud before.
Holly in the clouds.
Holly in the clouds. I was very excited. So it was a good time. But anyway, that was our weekend. It was good. I got to see your son on the first night we got there, Thursday. We did some stuff at the house and then we headed over because Tim and Thatcher both had never seen Blub's house and Hudson's, you know, where he lived. So we're like, can we stop by and see the place and all that. So that was real fun. He got to show them all around and, you know, they oohed and aahed and everything. And Thatcher just kept saying, you have a house. Like he just.
Right. I know.
He's like, what am I doing with my life? I'm like, you're right. But it was, they were all very, very pleased and happy for them. And so on. So, and then I'll tell you something really exciting and unexpected that happened while I was there. Of course, your son had football on his big old TV. He had the preseason pro games were going.
Yes, yes.
And so he had that on his big old TV. So we were looking at it a little bit. And he had on the Raiders playing somebody. I don't remember who they're playing. Anyway. And of course, you know who the newly number one draft pick for the Las Vegas Raiders was.
I do not.
There was something in the air that night. The stars were bright. Fernando. Okay, so I'm looking up, of course, and I know he wasn't going to, like, start necessarily. He's not, like, the starting, but I said, has he gone in yet? And he's like, yeah, he went in. Or anyway, well, we're sitting there, and I was watching it, and they put him back in, and I got to see his first pro touchdown pass.
That was special.
I was so proud of him. And he was so excited. He was kind of jumping up and down, hippy hoppy with the players. And he just looked like a 5-year-old going like, hee-hee. And he was so excited. And I was like, well, look at that. I just happened to be here and it was on. And I got to see his first pro touchdown pass. So I was just tickled. Made my whole night. So now I have to be a stinking Raiders fan, which is very disturbing.
That's true.
It is. It's disturbing.
No.
But.
Yeah, there have been some Mississippi State baseball players that have gone to some teams that I don't like. And I'm like.
It's tough, you guys. Yeah. It's tough. So we're just going to have to, deal with it. But yeah. So it was a good weekend. And now we're back in the swing of things. How about you? What did you get up to this weekend?
Well, I laid in the pool Saturday. John Garrett left Friday afternoon, going back to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And JB came home Friday. Well, no, he was coming home Friday night, but he came home Saturday.
Oh, nice.
And so he was here for a couple of days, and I didn't really do much. I laid in the pool and tried to force myself, you know, to clean my floors and do some laundry and, you know, but pool was the main thing.
Yeah, yes, it had to be the main thing for certain.
However, Sunday, it was so hot that I did not even go out and get in the pool.
Yeah.
Until Sunday night. And Ron and I went out and got in the pool, and I promise you, it was hotter than a hot tub.
Oh, I bet you it was.
It was. I mean, it was.
I bet you it was.
than the bath that I take.
So,
all the way, Ron swam down.
All the way down.
He said, all the way down at times. So as the pool really goes with your nighttime temperatures, and so it is going to start cooling off at night some now, and I'm hoping we're through, but we've had like heat indexes of 120.
Yeah.
So for a couple days you do that. And the thing is,
and I'm sure it was the same, if not worse, that it's not only that it got up to, you know, real 99 and then the heat index, the low here was 80, 81 degrees.
Yeah. Right.
The low. Today's right. better. It's coming. Good is coming. It's better
and
today.
And that's not your real feel.
No, you know? It's not.
And so when it's that hot, the pool just doesn't cool down at night. But so we are in the pool last night, and that has become, we've really been doing a lot of nighttime swimming. Mm-hmm. One, it's very relaxing, and I sleep much better if I'll swim at night. So we've been doing that, and Shadow is out there with us, and we are about to come in, and I am relaxed. I mean, I'm like, I am washing my face, and I'm hitting the bed.
Yeah.
Now I am tired, and Shadow sees something, you know, and he kind of wanders off toward the fence, and we've got so many armadillos and raccoons and cats and, you know, all this. And he comes back, and Ron said, well, did you get it, buddy? And all of a sudden, or what'd you get or something like that? And all of a sudden it hit me. It was a skunk. He had been sprayed.
Not again. Didn't that already happen once?
Dingo. Sprayed by the skunk. He did not get it as bad as Dingo. Dingo went up and like bit the thing. I mean, he got sprayed. I think Shadow had a little bit of distance, but it was still. So then we had to bathe him and get. So y'all, if your dog or any animal, if you get sprayed by a skunk, here's your recipe. It works like a charm.
You could use this for your recipe.
This is my recipe of the skunk spray stew. I don't know.
Okay, what is it?
It's so, you know, they used to say bathe in tomato juice, and it never did diddly squat. Hydrogen peroxide, water, baking soda, and Dawn soap.
Yeah, you got to have something to take the grease. It's like an oily,
it's an oil
spray.
You can have that Dawn. The baking soda helps absorb the spray. And I'm not sure what the hydrogen peroxide does, but it gets it out. So anyway, Shadow smells much better
and
today.
He's got long.
He has
dense, long hair.
Yes. So, but you just rub that paste all over. So we kind of rubbed that all over him around his face where he really got sprayed, and then rinsed it off. And then I bathed him in Dawn again, and he's bless all good him. Today.
Bless him. And he's just squeaky clean, like those little ducklings when they clean those ducks after the oil spills with the Dawn, and they get them all fluffy and cute.
So we had skunk sprayed last
good
night.
Good grief. That is truly horrible anytime. But especially when you're like ready to go to bed and then you have to do that whole process. But you like skunk smell. Do people realize that?
I love the way a skunk smells. However, I love the smell of puppy breath, and it smells like puppy breath to me. So like when it sprays on the road somewhere, I'm like.
She does, y'all. She breathes in real deep. She's smell that. I'm here going.
However, when it is up close and personal, it smells like onions. And it was pretty stout.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my night last night.
Oh, my word.
But I will tell you, I have a do you want to feel old?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you how, because I'm sitting in my second period class, and there are only 10 kids in my second period class. It's culinary 4. And I look, and these are the troublemakers that I've had. Not really. There's some sweet ones. There's a really quiet one. But their personalities all mixed together. I'm sitting there, and I thought, I am living a real-life episode of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, to the point that I looked at one of the boys, and I said, hey, pipe down there, Horse Shack.
Pipe down, Horse Shack.
Yes, that will be his name for the rest of the semester. He will be Horse Shack. But I knew my kids would not know, you know, Welcome Back, Cotter. And I said, y'all just need to go get on YouTube or some streaming service and look up Welcome Back, Cotter, because it is y'all. Well, I didn't expect them to know, but I'm walking down the hall. I see one of the assistant principals and I said, and he was like, how's it going? I said, Coach Jean, my second period is a real life episode of Welcome Back, Cotter.
And he knew right what you meant.
No. Blank stare.
No.
Blank stare. And he said,
oh, that hurts a little.
Yeah. He said, I don't know what that is. And I said, oh my gosh. You know, I know my students aren't going to do it, but no. My assistant principal, no clue what Welcome Back, Cotter.
I guess so. I mean, how old is he?
I don't know.
I mean like 30s, yeah, or 40s?
30s, huh? Probably. He's 30s. Probably in his 30s.
Yeah. So he wouldn't. There's no way. Because yeah, that show was even oldish for...
It was 70s. For,
but it was content-wise. Like, I didn't watch that. It was about these high school kids in, like, probably Brooklyn, right? New York, for sure. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, stars a young John Travolta.
Travolta. That was probably his breakout role right there.
Yeah. That was his first TV series, in case you all...
Mr. Carter.
I have a note signed Epstein's mother. So there was one kid in it. You guys, listen. If you haven't watched Welcome Back, Cotter, we do wreck all you 20-somethings. We're big with the 20-somethings, Joni. Yes.
Oh, well, good.
We're big.
Go stream. Welcome Back, Cotter.
Go watch it. It is about a high school class teacher and class in, I want to say, Brooklyn, New York somewhere.
It's inner city.
New York. Yeah. Like probably not Brooklyn then.
And I think they're the problem kids, aren't they?
I think, I don't know though. I think like Horshack seemed like, he seemed like willing to.
Yeah.
I get the feeling.
I think they were not the cream of the crop.
No. And it's the 70s. Yeah. Like you guys, it's the pure. So the clothes, the tight jean, bell bottom, the teachers, Mr. Cotter.
Afros, yeah.
He has
this
afro and a mustache. And I'm going to have to go watch some.
Everybody kind of had afros except John Travolta.
Well, his was like the long locks.
Yeah. He had.
And Epstein had a big old afro. And the one kid, Epstein was his last name. And he would come in and he would be late or have to miss class or not have his assignment or something. And he would always come in and with a note from home. And Mr. Cotter would read it and it'd be something like, I'm sorry. And I can't remember what his first name was, his real first name, but so-and-so couldn't do his assignment because, you know, the lights went out or blah, blah, blah. Signed, Epstein's mother. It was always...
Mother.
It was always, it wasn't her name. It was just Epstein's mother.
Anyway,
but what I'm saying is it was an older show. Like even for me, like I didn't watch that. I certainly didn't watch it real when it was out. I watched that in syndication because it was about high schoolers and older. And
I watched it when it was.
Yeah. And you had older sisters again. And that made sense. But
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have.
I am living a real life episode of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Well, between that and my Seinfeld episode, we have just.
And I am Mr. Carter.
You are Mr. Carter. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to go watch one.
Yes.
I wonder how, if it holds up. Like, I don't remember what any of the storyline, like they just,
I just only
remember them sitting in that classroom.
Yeah. I mean, I have a girl that sits up front and she tells the boys how it's going to go down, what's going down. I mean, she is, and they're, you know, back and forth and I'm just shaking my head. I'm trying to teach Surf Safe. And I thought, yeah, I am fully going to get a note from Epstein's mother.
Yeah, you're about to get Epstein's mother. Mm-hmm. That's great. Oh, that just took me back. Yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, that period, boy walks in first thing. He said, Miss Shank, come here and feel my heart. I said, what? He said, put your hand. He said, I think I'm about to die. Feel my heart. Oh, I said, I am not feeling your heart. And he grabbed my hand and put it on his chest. Well, you can feel his heart just beating like crazy. I said, go to the nurse. But it was, Miss Shine, feel my heart.
Oh my gosh. That's exactly what the kid, John, what was his name? What was John Travolta's character? It started with a B.
Vinny Barbarino.
Barbarino. Vinny Barbarino. Yeah, that's it. That would be what something he would do.
I'm having a heart attack.
I'm going to die. Oh my gosh.
Feel my heart, Miss Shine. Anyway.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, it's really pretty great. So, here's my day.
We look forward to next week's episode.
Yeah. I probably just need to take notes every
day. You should. You really need to. Yeah.
All right. So do we have an Idaho murder update?
We don't. Nothing new. So we don't have anything new, and I don't have any new clues to report. I do, however, for those of you who I need to talk about a little bit, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but stupid old Alex Murdoch is getting a new trial. Now, for those of you who don't remember, this was the case of the whole world back in 2020, 2021, and 22. I mean, I think the crimes happened. This was the guy in South Carolina, this lawyer, small town, you know, lawyer and his family, influential family, and his daddy was the lawyer and the prosecutor general. I don't know. Anyway, this is like a classic. There's Netflix specials or whatever. There's things you can go watch. And he was convicted of killing his wife and one of his sons down at one of his properties. And I mean, I think he did it. I mean, he was convicted of it. And it was a whole crazy case. It's one of the craziest cases you ever, like, it's crazy. If you want just a deep dive into, like, it's got everything. It's got the family and the small town and the wealth. And the son that was killed actually was getting ready to have to go and have hearings and trial because he had driven intoxicated on a boat with a bunch of young people the year before or whatnot and gotten a big boat wreck and a girl died. So he was about to enter into that whole case. And then there was financial crimes with the daddy, Alex, the guy that was convicted of the murder. He scammed all these law customers, clients. He scammed their housekeeper, died, fell down the steps. He faked a suicide attempt by hiring his long distant cousin to come shoot him on the road. I mean, y'all, it's insane.
Yes.
And this man is getting another trial. They're letting him retry because of some, I'm pretty sure it's because of there was some possible, there wasn't jury tampering, but the court clerk really made a mess of things in that courtroom in little, whatever town, South Carolina they were in, and really messed up some stuff. So, so this fool has a new trial. So now I'm watching the pre-trial hearings for that.
Well, if you don't know about small town politics, there is some deep, dark corruption.
Oh,
place.
Like
deep. Tell you stories, but I'm afraid to.
Deep.
No joke.
No, I know. That because it's so generational, it's generational stuff. It's not just like even one. It's like generations of people who've been in power or had money. I mean, this guy's dad was the solicitor. The prosecuting attorney in this state is called a solicitor general. His daddy was it. His granddaddy was it. His great, like.
I will say this. There was a drug investigation going on down here. Mm-hmm. And a vice president of the United States called the TBI and had it shut down.
I wonder who that vice president could have been.
I'm going to say.
Al Gore Highway? The Al Gore Senior Highway? Oh, sorry. What? You didn't say it. I was just throwing it out there.
I am just saying.
Tennessee?
There have been, things have...
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's been shut down.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Power.
Yep. Absolutely. So that'll be a whole situation, I think. Yeah.
I mean, we're a town of 7,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's small town. I think there's 10,000 in the entire county.
Yep.
And somehow we'll know our names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. It's really, really wild. So that's going to,
I mean, there are people who've murdered people and they've, you know, gotten off with a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm anxious. There is a case going on right now with a predator that has some big community ties, and he did get convicted. And I am I'm anxious to see what kind of time they.
Okay. You have to send me that one. I'll have to get on that. The one from y'all that I still haven't done a deep dive on, or her, I know a little bit, but it's the Holly Bobo.
Yes.
That's still not solved.
No, and I don't know that it ever will be.
I know, but that's one that I want to, like, I know people have heard of it nationwide. I mean, it's definitely, you know, made a nationwide, but like some of the crime deep dive, you know, podcasty people and YouTubers, it's like, I want to send them just a little note like, hey, you know, deep dive on this bad boy, because now, especially with, I don't know what evidence they have. So I don't know what they have. I don't know that they have a lot, but again, I'm like, this is never solved. And that girl just disappeared. Tell what happened real quick.
Well, she was a nursing student, and I don't, you know, I need to go back. Maybe I need to go back and research this and talk about it another time, but she was a nursing student, and her car door was open. Her lunchbox was spilled out, and she was gone.
Out of her driveway.
Yeah.
Like, so
her parents were at work. Her brother was home, but evidently asleep. There's something that's not adding up there.
I don't love that.
But I don't know. Or he thought she was with her boyfriend, or he thought, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look up, because it's been a few years. I'll go back and pull up some of that.
Get back to us with a little case summary. Cause that's just one of those cases that just kind of.
Yeah, that actually happened in the county just right above us, but they moved the trial down.
What trial? Here. Did they arrest somebody?
They did. Yeah, there are three boys. There were three guys that they have arrested. But I don't know. One, I'm pretty sure he did it.
I thought this was totally cool. I didn't know this was.
No, they've got these three guys.
Oh, what am I thinking of then? Okay.
I don't know, but okay. Yeah, the Holly Bobo trial, but there's still some stuff that's not right there.
Okay.
I don't know. So the Holly Bobo trial, and you know, we had the Buford Pusser thing, all that's come back up.
You know what? I saw an article on that. In fact, I meant to send it to you. It was, I just get the online, emails from Garden and Gun, big magazine. It's like one of my favorite magazines. I don't really get it anymore, but it's a really cool magazine, and they did there was an article on the fall of a hero of Buford Pusser, and it was very interesting.
And I'll tell you where I fall on that right now. I don't know whether he did it or not. Just real quick, a recap. Buford Pusser, big sheriff down in McNary County, which is, you know, just across the bridge from us. Wiped out all the drugs, and I mean, he made a lot of enemies with the Dixie Mafia around here, and evidently the story was he got ambushed. He got shot in the jaw. His wife was murdered. He later got murdered in the car that my parents let me ride in with him.
True story. True story. Anyway,
you know, so all of a sudden they came out, they exhumed her body. Was that just 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was just like last year or two. Yeah.
You know, so they exhumed her body, and now they're coming out and saying that Buford fabricated the whole thing, and that he's the one that killed Pauline. Now,
yeah, they're pretty certain too. I mean, the way it sounds, they're pretty.
Where I'm falling on that though is that man's no longer here to defend himself.
Right.
You know, this case is, what, 50 years old, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody who was around who could give any kind of testimony can say anything.
I bet there is, but more to your point, there is no case. There's no trial. The person's dead. So there's nowhere to go with it. There's no legal action to take on it.
But when you can't defend yourself, I mean, maybe there are some, I haven't even read what they're, you know, what they're coming back and saying and why he did it or why they are pretty certain.
Well, they had had a big fight. Apparently they had had a big fight and she was fixing to leave him.
Yeah.
Like that was known by people around them that she was, because he had serial affairs. He was not a great guy.
Yeah, no.
He had many affairs, and she was done and tired of it and, you know, was threatening to leave. He also took kickbacks from people. I mean, he was not, he did his own thing.
Yeah.
He did his own thing. And
he made but my point is too, he made a lot of enemies.
Yeah, he sure did.
He had a lot of enemies that you don't want to mess with a lot of times.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
So, I mean, you know, you can come back and you can make, I mean, you can make evidence look either way a lot of times. And so I don't know what this evidence is, but whatever that evidence is, there's nobody here to say, oh yeah, that happened that way because this.
Sure.
Or even if they moved some guns or did, you know, whatever, or if they tried to make it, you know, so you could arrest, oh, let's make it so this person looks like they're going to be arrested or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that was some of it. Maybe there was some evidence tampering that he didn't do, you know, that's not, I don't know. That's what I'm just
saying. We'll never have a full investigation of it because there's nothing to, and there's no case, there's no legal anything that can happen.
You can't, and you just should have a right to defend yourself.
No. You should, and he does, but we also have a right to our opinion. We have a right to what we can see and go, this son of a gun.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I mean, there's just no way to say.
Well, we'll have to look into that. We'll have to look into what the evidence, I don't remember what it said, the evidence. I remember somebody picked up the case, I can't remember. I just read a whole thing on it. It wasn't real extensive, but, and it was like the case got picked back up and looked at because of something, and I can't remember what that was. So we'll have to re-remember that. But they talked all about the museum and the movies and, you know, all the stuff. So it's crazy. The more and the best ones are the Southern, like, crazy people. Y'all got some good crazies down there.
You have some good crazy people.
I love it. Toad garden update. There is a second toad. Did I tell you that?
Did not tell me there's a second. Oh, that's right. Got a woman.
Well, maybe so. I always think of it as being two dudes, but maybe so. That would be better because then we could have little babies. Right before Tim and I were loading up the U-Haul, we rented a little U-Haul trailer to take some furniture down to Abe and Joey, and we were loading it up, and it was burning a million degrees Wednesday when we were loading. But anyway, and Tim spots kind of in our driveway, he spots another little tiny wee little toad, and he goes, oh, look, and he tried to get it, jumped away. Well, I reached in there, snatched that sucker up, ran it into the backyard, put it in the little house, and it stayed in there, didn't jump out. It was just like,
froggy went a-courting and he did right,
Froggy went a-courting and he did right, baby. And he loves it there, too. So now there's two frogs.
Good.
Toads, whatever. They're toads. Sorry. So that's very exciting news I need to be sure to share. The other thing, so I have a bone to pick with Target, a little beef, and I don't go there very much. And in fact, I went the other day before we were leaving on our trip, I had to grab something. I don't remember. I had to get something for Tim's mom or something. I need to go real quick. Cause I don't shop. I legit can't remember the last time I was at Target. Probably, I don't know, because I just don't. I Amazon stuff. I don't got time for that. Why would I go drive, park in that parking lot in a million thousand degrees, walk? Because it's not like it used to be when I used to like to go to Target and like look around and find stuff. I just, sometimes that's fun, but I like to look in the makeup department a little, but I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I haven't been there in a million years. But I had to go get something, so I ran in, got a few things, and getting ready to check out. And here's the deal. Here's the beef I have with them. And I don't know why this is just occurring to me, because this has been like this for years. This has been like this since 2020. Okay? And you can know what I'm going to say. So, at this particular Target, again, this is probably not every Target, but actually, to be honest, it's most that I've seen. I've been to a lot of different locations in St. Louis anyway. This is the case. I go to the checkout and there's a million checkout lines because ours have the double like it's double lane checkout, you know, so like you've got the front tier and then you've got the ones back behind. And back in the day, man, them things were hopping. So we have two rows of conveyor belt regular checkout line, you know, lines. And of course, they're never staffed. They had three people. I'm talking there's probably 18 to 20 of these lines of, you know, sitting there, conveyor belt things, all stocked with their little candy, all whatever. And there's three people working, and it's getting back to school time. So there's all these moms and kids and carts and bins and back to school shopping and all this. So of course, I go down to the self-check, which moves pretty quickly usually, whatever. And there's been times for sure before where that line has been forever long. I go and I'm waiting in line. And I don't know why this is not like registered to me before, but I was like, I look up and I'm like, there's four self-check spots at this particular Target in Kirkwood. I'm coming for you. Kirkwood Target, do better. There's four spots. A lot of the places now do have quite a few more, you know, on the end, they'll have maybe five or six on each end of the store. Kind of, it's a little more like that. This one does not. This one has had the same four self-checks that it put in maybe pre-pandemic, maybe pre-COVID. I don't remember, you know, when things weren't, it was starting to get that, but you weren't seeing a ton of it. And then 20 lanes of checkout counters with three people working the checkout. And I get up to the check and I get up there and I use the self-check all the time anyway. And it just caught me giggling because I was like, I get up there and they still have a sign at the self-checkout that says 10 items or fewer. I just laughed out loud. I'm like, I'll come here with a whole dang cart. I'm a self-check with three carts if I want a self-check because y'all got three people working 20 lanes. Right. And I'm like, here's the deal. I know we can have a whole conversation and we have in the past. This is not a self-check versus and jobs and all that. Because listen, guys, those jobs are gone. You got to get some new jobs because that's pretty much gone. I don't want them to be gone all the way because some people do need assistance. You're going to always have to have, you know, elderly. You need to have some for people that need assistance. Okay. So they'll never fully go away, but that is gone. But my point is, commit to it then and take out all these check lanes that you don't ever use and put in 20 self-checks.
Right.
And don't be like 10 items or less. When I'm sitting here looking at a line all the way back on each of these three poor checkers with 15 screaming kids, candy smeared all over them in every aisle. And you're telling me I got to go with my 15 items? No. No. And nobody does, of course. But it was so funny to me that sign was still there, looking around at what the condition of what you guys are having us do. You're pushing us to the self-check, which, okay, I'm fine. I can accept that now. But then commit to it and give us a whole bunch of self-checks and only right. keep four regular checkout lines. Do better. Do better, Kirkwood Target. I just was miffed by that whole situation. I just thought it was funny. I was like, it's still like this. I was like, oh my gosh, this has been like 5 years now, 6 years now. Like, come on, Target. Remodel. Y'all remodel every section. They remodel all the time, all these sections. But we still got 20 lanes of checkout and no one in them.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm going to put that on the presidential platform.
Good. You should do that 100% after you take care of my stuff first.
I'm going to take care of the EPA. They're out. Oh, sorry.
Humidity. Yes.
So that's my big beef with that. I think we are ready for your recipe, unless there's anything else you needed to update us on.
No, I don't have anything other than my welcome back, Cotter. And
that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's my life right there.
That's pretty good. I kind of love it.
Okay, so I'm going to give you, this is just my recipe here. And it is my lemon rosemary chicken and rice. Mm. Okay, so And some of the stuff that I use, you can't buy anymore. So we're going to try to figure it out. So depends on how much rice you want. But let's go with two cups of just dry rice. Put that in the bottom of a 9x13 baking dish. And you are going to add, I like to add for me, 2 cups of chicken broth and 2 cups of hot water, because you always double your water to your rice. And then you need to find a specialty store and find lemon infused olive oil.
Okay.
So Wild Tree used to make it. Wild Tree has gone out of business, but this I found at a shop in Branson, actually.
Oh yeah. I bet you could find it at like a little gourmet food, little boutique-y store.
Yes. Yes. And this is a specific olive oil store.
Oh,
they've got all kinds of different oils there.
Oh, okay.
But get some lemon olive oil. You could take regular olive oil and squeeze some lemon juice into it. But if you can find a lemon-infused olive oil, y'all just drizzle that over your water that you put on your rice. Mm-hmm. And then you need bone-in chicken breast. You need the bone-in and you need the skin on for the flavor of the whole thing.
Okay, hang on quick. Okay. Amazon has lemon-flavored extra virgin olive oil on Amazon.
Okay.
If you can't support your little shop, do your little shop. But if you can't find it, they do have some. Okay.
That's at Amazon. Great.
Yes.
So then on your chicken breast, over the skin, you're going to drizzle more of your lemon olive oil over that and sprinkle some salt and pepper over it. Now, this was a Wild Tree specialty seasoning, and it was like a lemon pepper with pink peppercorns in it and rosemary. Just make your own. Buy some lemon pepper and mix it with some dried rosemary.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, and sprinkle that over your chicken. Mm. Cover it with aluminum foil really tight, and you're going to bake it for an hour on 350 degrees. Take your aluminum foil off at that point. And then I bake it for about 10 minutes more just to crispen up that skin on top of the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it is delicious.
That is delicious. You guys, that is one of the easy, that type of dish, just like that. The chicken and rice was a dinner staple in our house when the kids were home and in school. It's so good. That's such a good recipe. Just like, again, components, because you can do anything.
Yes.
We'd have chicken rice. It was different every time because I just threw out whatever seasoning, but.
Yeah. And that it takes an hour to bake is good. Like I went in and threw it together real quick. Took me 5 minutes to throw it together and I stuck it in the oven and it's down there cooking while I'm doing the podcast.
Yeah. So you throw it in and you don't have to do it's in one pan. The rice all cooks. The chicken, it's a go-to for certain. You can make any kind of way you want. So that's a good one. I haven't thought about that in a while.
I serve it with steamed broccoli.
Nice. Perfect.
Sugar snap peas. It's just a really easy.
Yes.
So.
Very good. Very good idea. That's a good one. It's also your top three.
Top three.
I know. And ask me if I'm ready.
Are you ready?
No. I can't remember what I even have done in the past. So here
that's
we go.
All right. Just go again.
Okay. So this is a new one. I think I have done this before. But I've had to upgrade.
Okay.
This is a bamboo cotton 3D Bluetooth sleep mask. And I know I've done the sleep mask before, but y'all, I have to have something. My mind has to stop. If I can't just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm, same.
Because I lay there and my mind starts spinning of, what am I going to, you know, now it's, what am I teaching on tomorrow? What do I need to say? How am I going to engage this? Or what have I got to do? I mean, my mind will just sit there and spin
and just keep going. Yep.
Keep going. So I have to have, you know, the TV on, or I have to listen to something.
Something to grab your mind.
Make my mind stop.
Right. To something for the brain to focus on. And even that doesn't work all the time, but.
Other than my life.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but this bamboo mask, it is so soft and it's puffed out. So it's not like flat on my eyes.
Oh,
so
nice.
3D is just kind of puffed up a little bit. And then it will Bluetooth to my phone and I can listen to a podcast. A lot of times I listen to Lore, but it just makes my mind stop.
That's a good item. If you guys need something like that, that's amazing. I may have to order another one. I have one, but that one sounds, I may have to get another one.
They're not just real expensive. So, it is on Amazon.
Perfect.
The other one, did I do the red light therapy? Have I done that? I don't know that I did. If I did, y'all get a second round of this.
I can't remember if you did or not. It was a while ago. If you did, it was a while ago.
With my knee and y'all.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But I am willing with my knee. I was willing to try anything that anybody suggested, whether it was essential oils, I rubbed that on my knee. But this is a red light therapy. And y'all, sometimes I wonder if this stuff is hokey, you know, but I think this really, really helped my knee.
It says it should. It's supposed to.
And I mean, every research thing that I did, but this is a red light therapy pad and it's a wrap. So you can wrap it. Like if you've got back pain, you can wrap it around your waist. I wrapped it around my knee, and it has two settings. One is the red light, and that's out like on 650. And one, if you do it to an 850, where it goes to the deeper tissues, it's a purple light. But here's the thing. And I had to look because I thought, this is not working. You can't see it with your eyes.
Oh, the purple.
If you hold your phone up to it, you can see the purple.
What?
It. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh, weird. So, okay.
But once I turned it on the deep tissue purple, then I really started noticing a difference and a healing in my knee. So I highly recommend that. I don't know. They say it can break down some fat cells too. I haven't tried that. Don't know if it's true or not, but I'm just saying. Then the next one is a book that I read, and y'all have heard me talk about school and it, there's not, when you're in the business of hospitality, there is not a lot of gratitude that goes around for you busting your tail all the time. And a lot of times you do all this stuff for people and it feels very unnoticed. It feels very, you feel very taken advantage of you. And I tell my students this all the time when we're talking about hospitality. I'm like, y'all, you're going to bust your tails in here. And there's not a lot of people who are going to come and say thank you. There's not a lot of people who are going to give back to you. This is just, and so the gift of hospitality is great. But sometimes it just sucks, you know, so it is what it is. But Lisa Turkhurst has a book called Uninvited, and it was absolutely fantastic. It addresses all of that stuff. And from a biblical perspective, it was just an absolutely fantastic book. So if you are out there and you do for everybody all the time and they don't do for you, I highly recommend.
If you're a woman involved in any kind of church, go ahead and buy that book.
There you go.
Or any other organization from.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, that's a good recommendation.
It says 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
And 19% of those are women.
Yes. So
I'm kidding. I love the dudes. I take it all back.
It's my top three.
That's awesome. That's a good recommendation. Just if you're looking for a little something to read or get an audiobook of or something.
It was fantastic. And nice. I'm going to make Ron read it too, because it even addresses a lot of like childhood issues and things like that.
Okay, good. So it really kind of gets at it. I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing those. Those are very good. I might have to think about getting that red light thing too. Hudson's knees, he's doing much better. He's done his PT as well, but would it help just on knees that just hurt?
You know, if it has to do with tissue, I don't know that it will on bones. If it's a bone situation, it's not that expensive. It's worth trying it.
Okay. Right,
I mean, if Hudson's like I was, I mean,
well, for him, yeah, it's tissue. It's, you know, it's muscle and all that. But that's tissue, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Muscle, soft. Yeah. Anything that's soft.
Yeah. That's what mine was muscle.
Yeah. Cartilage and muscle. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing those. Hope you guys had a good week. Hope you have a good weekend coming up. When you hear this, it'll be, you know, Thursday or Friday or whatever. And we will talk to you next week. We'll have more stories of what sitcoms we feel like we're living in. You know, more tales from Welcome Back, Kater, Mr. Kater. That's right. And until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See ya, Patch. I'm sorry. See ya, brown prune.
Are we switching to that?
I don't know. I was in the pool and something. I don't know why it came out.
Well, it's because my test.
And the brown prune,
the golden raisin and the brown prune. Well, it's because I mentioned my package I had to mail at the beginning of this episode. I really was the brown prune. Okay, I got to go. This is too much. This is disgusting. Go eat your dinner. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.